This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are getting ready here. We talk to the Washington play-by-play guy to kick off the first half hour. And at 2:35, Greg Wetzel will join us to talk about the Lewisburg football game. Penn State will face Washington this weekend. Airtime is 6:30 on Eagle 107. Kickoff time is set for 8 o'clock. The Nittany Lions host the Washington Huskies in the whiteout game. Also locally, Lewisburg will host Mount Carmel in the District 4 Class 3A semifinals.
How about that one? Huh? That's going to be quite the game. Now, you're blowing it off because of, like, you know.
We do have Mike ready to roll then, Steve.
Yeah, but you're going to be chasing the shiny object.
I am chasing the shiny object. I will be going to Mansfield.
I knew it. Yeah. Always chasing the shiny object. That's you. Mike, how are you? Great to have you with us.
I am great, Steve. How are you?
Doing really well. Look, all I know is I'll get to football in a second, but basketball season is underway, my friend. And Columbia beat Villanova last night. So already life has become crazy it across the country.
There's always a few of those at the start of the season that shake everybody up. In Villanova's case, it's obviously that Kyle Neptune has not had a great first couple years, and there is an eagerness to sort of create this hot seat element, and I'm not a huge fan of that. Look, we'll know in a couple of months whether or not Villanova needs to make a decision about their coaching situation, but you don't make that decision after one game. I did a little tweet this morning, and I remembered Syracuse. I had to do a little Google, but I remembered Syracuse losing an exhibition game one time to Lemoyne, which at the time was D2, and they're now D1. But they lost to Lemoyne, and then they went out and won 30 games. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen with Villanova. I'm not saying that I expect them to be great, but I'm not ruling it out. Things happen in college basketball. That's why we play the games.
Right. Well, exactly. Before I get to the football part, because I want to ask you about Florida and Billy Napier, what's your thought on 1 through 16 SEC, 1 through 18 Big Ten, 1 through 16 Big 12, whatever, just the sheer numbers and what it's done to competition in conferences?
Well, what it's done is essentially taken the great intersectional games that used to exist in college football and had gone away, and put them into the schedule disguised as conference games, or maybe disguised isn't the right word, but
right,
in the outfits of conference games. And that's made college football better. And that happening coinciding with the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams, and even more important than that, to 5 automatic qualification spots,
right,
has energized this college football season in a way that we've never seen. And the perfect example is in the Big Ten, and that's Indiana.
Yes.
And because right now Indiana is undefeated, and they are looking at the possibility of qualifying for the playoff. And you and I know that in the unlikely event that any previous Indiana team had reached this part of the schedule at 8-0, their fans would be sitting there thinking, you know what, we're going to play Ohio State, we're going to lose to them, we're going to wind up playing in a weak Weed Eater Bowl or whatever.
Right.
It's not like that now. We're going to play Ohio State, and if we lose, maybe we still play for the championship. I mean, it just completely changes the dynamic, and it's the same right there in your backyard. Obviously, Saturday was enormously disappointing, but there's still football, meaningful football out there for the Nittany Lions to gain if they continue, or resume, I should say, performing well.
Well, and let me get to something else about November that is interesting, that was not interesting before. Alabama-LSU on Saturday night would have been a non-event, except for the fact of brand names, of a pair of two-loss teams. Well, instead, this is an elimination game.
Yes.
And I think that changes the dynamics of what college football is in the month of November that we've never had before.
Absolutely. You know, we've had elimination games in conference tournaments for years.
Yes.
In men's basketball.
Yep.
And what that's done, like, that really amps up the interest in the state, in the arena, and probably helps the television ratings over a normal game, normal conference tournament game, like in an 8-9 game or something like that. But it's amplified in college football because there are fewer games going on. Like in the conference tournament, there's like 12 conference tournaments going on at the same time. So the attention on any one game is really big for me, the people calling the game, for Goodman and Doster and all the other Seth Davis and Andy Katz and all the other people who do what I do, the interest is really high, and for Lenardi and Palm and others who do the bracketing that I do. But it's not; it can't really compound in the way that it will Saturday night for those two teams in Baton Rouge.
Right. And that's exactly what it ends up being. Now, the Indiana story, which is a remarkable one, what has been your take on them, and why has it happened?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. I mean, there's some really good timing involved for a program that was stuck, hamstrung with that Big Ten East schedule for as long as they were. I think the Big Ten East started around 2016, I think, something like that. I don't remember the exact year now. But that was really hard for them to have to deal with Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State every year. It's brutal. And so this first year they get out of that in the expanded league. And their schedule has been challenging. They've had to prove that they're a really good football team to this point, but they've never really had to prove they were a great football team. That's not to say they haven't proven it, but they didn't have to. Like, going on the road to Michigan State on Saturday, I mean, they could have just gone up there and won by, let's say, 35-21 or 28-21 and it's still been fine. They went out and won like 45-21 and really showed something. So maybe they are, but the schedule hasn't been overwhelmingly demanding, and that's been good for them. It's been, you've got to pay attention to each game, and if you win it, then you get to move on another week, and it's going to be somewhat true for the Michigan game tomorrow on Saturday, 3:30 for them, another opportunity for them to prove themselves without necessarily having to prove they're great. I think that's good in college football because it allows stories like this to develop, and it also, as I said, it amplifies the importance of each game they play, and it engages their fans that much more. I'm telling you, this is something, Steve, I've been a college football fan since, I think it was September 1968, when I was taken to my grandfather's house by my mom and dad to watch Notre Dame play Purdue. And since that afternoon, I have been waiting for this season when there's a legitimate playoff that involves real qualification, and then the field being expanded beyond that to at-large teams, because the schedules aren't equivalent. Indiana has an obvious advantage over over Ohio State this year, which has played just about every good football team there is, short of moving into the AFC North.
Right. And that's where they are. I mean, with this point, they're very, very talented at this stage. Yet Oregon's been able to come in. They're undefeated. They beat Ohio State by one. What's been your thought on Dan Lanning and what he has meant, and his style of play has meant to the conference?
It's been great because, as I said, those games are happening. That Ohio State-Oregon game happened in large part because of the conference, and it's exciting football. If you've ever seen Oregon Stadium, I don't know if you've gotten a chance yet. I'm sure you will. If not, if you haven't yet, it's a beautiful place in a beautiful setting. Their fans respond great. They get great crowds, and that was a terrific college football game. And Lanning did an amazing job of managing the end of that game so that they could escape with the 1-point win. And I think that does it show that they're definitively more powerful than Ohio State? No, because it was a 1-point win at home. So if they get a rematch in the Big Ten championship game, there's something legitimate to be established there. Because it was a road game for Ohio State, now they'll play on a neutral field, and we'll see which is definitely superior.
And that's exactly what we're looking to see. Dylan Gabriel, of course, at quarterback, has been a great story to this point. He came into the season with high expectations. He came into the season with some people thinking he might be a Heisman Trophy candidate. Now, whether he gets home or not remains to be seen. But what has his addition meant to this conference?
Well, I think that he's one of those quarterbacks who makes all the right moves. He may not be the best first round draft prospect or whatever, but he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. It does throw the ball really accurately. He makes smart decisions. I mean, you're completing 75% of your passes. That's outrageous.
I
do think the Heisman lately has become a little bit too much quarterback oriented, and a little bit too much the best quarterback the quarterback on the best team. I go back to Jason White winning it at Oklahoma over Larry Fitzgerald, and I wonder how many voters would like to have that one back. So I'm not sure he's the best choice for the Heisman. But he's a pretty doggone good choice for first-team All-America quarterback.
Can you figure out Nebraska? I mean, they haven't had a winning season since 2016, which you can schedule games in such a way where you can get yourself at least halfway home, and they're not there.
I thought that there were a lot of times this year when I thought that Nebraska was really good.
Me too.
And they've had some great – now, they do have a freshman quarterback, and maybe they need a little patience. They have had a little bit of bad luck in the injury department, but that's the thing about the new conferences, is that you're playing a lot more quality opponents in the expanded conference. I looked at Florida's schedule. I wrote about Billy Napier getting not extended, but I don't know what's the verbiage when you don't get fired. He got not fired by Florida.
But the old vote of confidence.
But in this case, I mean, like, I think they're kind of on the record. Like, even if he loses the next three, and it's very plausible, that he's going to stick around for next year. Now, they got to get better next year, because, sure, no matter what.
Right. In other words, because they like their freshmen and sophomores, and they're worried they're going to leave, they're going to keep them.
Yes, that's the idea. And I think that if you look over the last five games, they have played just an unbelievably difficult schedule. The only one that competes with it is Ohio State's. And in their case, they're not ready for it like Ohio State is. And they've struggled. I mean, they went to Tennessee and took them to overtime, and their first quarterback got hurt. Then they had a lead on Georgia in Jacksonville, and then he gets DJ Lagway, their talented freshman, gets hurt at quarterback, and so they're really struggling in that department. And I think it was smart for them. They're looking at the next three games, and they could very well lose all three. They're all to top 20 teams in the college football rankings. And so it could happen. And so they got out ahead of it and said, look, we're not going to allow that stretch, however it goes, to define what we want to do. We think this is going to work going forward. But it's hard to, when you're in the situation where you've already lost four games, all to ranked teams in the CFP rankings, and now you have three more such games. It's hard in that situation. There'll be years when they don't get that. When you get your Auburn matchup or your Arkansas, more of those and fewer of the Alabama and Tennessee type games.
Well, it's interesting because Auburn, their record right now under Hugh Freeze is, I think, exactly the same as it was under Brian Harsin at the same point, which is interesting. And then, you know, for Billy Napier, people don't realize until Steve Spurrier got there, Florida did not have a good history in football. I mean, that's the part that people don't understand, because Spurrier and Urban Meyer had success there. Right? They've been the only two.
Right.
It's a far more difficult job. Florida State has not scored 21 points in a game except for the opener. So they're 1-8. What's your take on that group?
Yeah, I think they just need – I don't think you become an idiot overnight. I mean, Norvell was
right.
Undefeated 13-0 or whatever with his full complement of players last year, and then all of a sudden he barely wins one. I think that the player losses really damaged them. I don't think it's been good for them as on the whole athletically to be demeaning their own conference in the way that they are. They're basically telling players, you don't want to be in this league. It's a bad league. We're dying to get out of it. So all the players who might go there are saying, well, if you don't want to be in that league, why would I want to be in that league?
Right.
I think their whole approach to this has been reckless and foolish, and frankly, whatever failure is generated on the field, they kind of earned it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Somebody told me, and I don't know if it was you, but Notre Dame has had decades and decades of being either loved or hated. Florida State accomplished it in 6 months.
Yeah, that was me, yes.
That was you. I knew it. I talked to Brad Nessler last week. Brad says, geez, Steve, I'm doing my third Michigan game. It's the third different starting quarterback. What's been your thought on them?
Yes, it's been a tough ride for sure. They have had injury, bad luck injury wise. They've had as well a challenging schedule. They're going to be different teams that catch that in different years. And when you're really struggling in the way that they are, every game becomes difficult. And so, as I said, Saturday they play Indiana. It's a featured game on CBS. It's going to be an enormous game, maybe as big a game as Indiana football has had since 67 or whatever, when they went to the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
It's just an enormous game. And so it's going to be hard for the Wolverines for sure. But first year of a new regime, I think Michigan, based on what happened with Jim Harbaugh, when they went 6 years with just being okay and stuck with him and then had 3 years of dominance, I think it's a demonstration that you just got to be a little patient sometimes.
We've already brought up that this is a different time because of the 12-team playoff. From a college football point of view, how excited are you about the next 3 weeks and some of the matchups we'll see because of the stakes?
Yeah, I think it's thrilling. I really do. Every game really matters now. You had like the Penn State Ohio State game on Saturday, and that dictated what it'd be like for the next several weeks for each team. What's at stake? But for Penn State now, every game they play is basically close to an elimination game. They're gone if they lose, but it really puts them in peril. If they win, it solidifies. So every game matters that much more. Washington's coming to town, and and you're coming off that really disappointing loss, it'd be a great point for a letdown. I think the whiteout is well timed to keep to avoid that crowd wise, but there's a great difference in the way that game plays out this year than in the way it's played out in any one of the 130 seasons that preceded it, because that game continues to matter. It defines your season in a little bit different way. Before, it would be just, well, we're probably out of the playoff. We're probably out of the Big Ten championship game now, which means we're probably out of the playoff, which means we're just playing for the best bowl. It's not the case anymore. And that's true at various schools, whether it's, like I said, the charm of Indiana's unusual season, or, as you mentioned, that big Alabama-LSU game. Whatever BYU does, they play Utah, I think, this weekend, a non-conference game that is a rivalry game, but now means that much more because they're trying to protect themselves. This is exactly what I thought would happen with college football when it finally came, and I've got to be honest with you. I shouldn't say exactly what I thought, because it's even better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah, same here. I'll give you my exact words in the post-game show Saturday. After broadcasting the game, I said, just so everybody understands, Penn State's in a four-game playoff to make the playoff.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly right. And as I said, a loss it wouldn't necessarily doom them, but it throws them into a lump of a lot of other teams that are going to have similar records, and you're completely at the mercy of the committee's whims at that point. You have the advantage over some of the teams that would be in that pile of Brand, and I still fear/think that Brand plays a big role. We'll see in a month or so, but that would be an advantage for the Nittany Lions. But you keep winning, and you remove all doubt. The Nittany Lions definitely get in if they win the remaining games.
Mike, an absolute pleasure. You know how much I always enjoy talking to you. Appreciate you very much.
Oh, you too, Steve. And I was talking to Jack Ham last week for something, and he informed me of your Hall of Fame selection, and I could not be happier for you. Definitely deserved. I've been a fan for, gosh, I hate to say this out loud, but it's 40 years now, Steve. Great work. Congratulations. Really happy for you.
That's very kind of you, Mike. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Right. Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News. We'll come back. Greg Wetzel has been located.